Not be what you were expecting this morning. I'm not the seasoned bishop of the Bread Church of God. I'm just the young stud muffin youth pastor here. Amen. It's all right to laugh. We can laugh in the house of the Lord. Amen. But y'all have been praying over this service for a couple weeks now, and I really do feel like God wants to do something in here today. You know, He's already doing something. And to be honest, I don't know if this is even really going to be a sermon. And what I really want to do today is I want to pray for families today. Not just a couple of you. I want to pray for every family if I can. Because I believe that God is wanting to release some generational blessings. And I can only tell you this, that while I was preparing my heart for this and through prayer, I heard these words come into my heart from the Lord was restoration. And paying back and retribution. How many of y'all know that when God makes the enemy pay you back, you get back more than you lost? Because the thief has to put interest on everything that he stole. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to go to the Word of the Lord. Let's turn and look at Luke chapter 6. And I'm just going to use this as a foundational text this morning. Luke chapter 6, verse 6, and when you have it, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word, if you don't mind. I won't have you stand long. Luke chapter 6, verse 6. Luke 6, verse 6. And the Word reads, "Now it happened on another Sabbath," say another Sabbath, "also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely." They watched Jesus closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts. Isn't that funny? God knows your thoughts. "And said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Arise and stand here.' And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, 'I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy?' And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.'" Everybody say stretch. Say stretch out. "And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage." Look at the religious people here. "They were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." And my message today is titled, "Restored Through Stretching." Y'all stay standing for just a second. Because if you have enough faith to believe it, God is going to heal the withered up, the dried up, the paralyzed part of your life that has been hindered and is not growing. And I feel like God's going to break some things off for some families in this room today. And restoration is coming to some houses and some homes today. I said restoration is coming to some houses and homes today. Let's pray together. Pray for me this morning. Dear Lord, help me preach and to teach today. And give us revelation to see and then a manifestation, Lord, of the word that is declared in this altar time. Father, I pray for blessings to break open and release over the people of God today. Blessing, Lords, that hit their finances, come on, church, their minds, their children, their marriages, their jobs, their joy level, their peace level. Father, I thank you right now that the inside is getting ready to be lined up with your plans, your promises, and your purposes. And I declare right now that every weapon, Father, that the enemy has crafted to destroy them is broken and it will not prosper. And they're going to come out of this moment today absolutely delivered from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. I declare today that what you have set in motion, no enemy can hinder. Hallelujah. Bless the people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. The Gospels are the account of the life, the birth, the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection, and the promise of the Lord's coming. And most of you know there are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But three of them are what we consider synoptic Gospels. That is, they carry the same flow. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic. John is not a synoptic gospel. John is concerned primarily with the deity and the passion, the suffering, and the humanity of our Lord. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell the story from birth to resurrection. And they follow a compatible, common timeline. And if you look in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, you will see only a handful of miracles that occurred in all three gospels. Each gospel writer takes his liberty under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to include certain stories, certain parts of Jesus' ministry. And so you get some stories in Matthew that you don't get in Luke. And you get some stories in Mark that you don't get in Matthew. But the story that I read to you this morning, that we read together here, of the man with the withered hand, is a unique and a dynamic story that finds itself in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it is there intentionally in all three of the gospel books because Jesus is trying to show us something significant. The writers of the gospels are trying to show us something very important. When you get one story in all three of the synoptic gospels, it has an intentionality and a deep meaning. And this is one of those such stories. And I believe that the reason why it is located in all three, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, is because it has to do with the Sabbath. And as you will understand, as this story unfolds before you this morning, the Sabbath and Jesus' controversy and his collision with religious leaders regarding the Sabbath is a very, very tenuous point in ministry for him. And it's something that causes great conflict with the religious leaders of his day. He is going intentionally, church, into the synagogue on the Sabbath, not just to do something, but to make a point. And when he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath to make a point, the Bible is clear here in Luke's gospel. This story is also found in Matthew chapter 12 and Mark chapter 3. It's the same story. And Jesus goes into this synagogue. He goes into this synagogue on the Sabbath, not just to heal a man, but to make a point. He is trying, Berea Church of God, to shape and to change a culture in this place of worship. Jesus is literally trying to shift an atmosphere in this sanctuary. Now, most theologians, and listen, I do not consider myself a theologian, but I do believe that the theologians have nailed this when they say that this synagogue, here in Luke chapter 6, was the synagogue at Capernaum. It is the same synagogue where he walked into after he came out of the wilderness and he delivered the demon-possessed man. He set him free and said in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recover of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This is the same synagogue. I want you to understand that this man with the withered hand could have very likely been in that service where Jesus initially walked into the synagogue and he delivered the man with the devil. I believe that this man could have been in there. But one of the things that I want you to understand is that Jesus is willing to come back to this synagogue even after he has delivered somebody and continue to do work in that synagogue that would shift and continually more appropriately align the atmosphere on heaven with earth. Excuse me, on earth with heaven. There is something, family, so pervasive in this synagogue that Jesus doesn't just deliver it one time. He has to come back time after time after time and keep preaching and teaching and training because there is a stronghold in this synagogue that has a tendency to keep people in bondage. And if you're going to have breakthrough and have deliverance and a sustained victory in a place, it takes more than one breakthrough. It takes time after time after time coming back to that atmosphere, addressing the stronghold in the spirit and letting it know you stayed here for a while, but you are not permitted to stay here any longer. This atmosphere is shifting and things are changing. That's a good place to give God a hand clap right there this morning. That's why, and some of you may be able to attest to this, growing up, you can go into a church service and have a wonderful Sunday morning church service, but then you come back the next Sunday and it felt like, what happened? Nobody knows what I'm talking about, do you? Have you ever been in a great service before, but come back to the same church and the victory and the breakthrough that you had the week before, you feel like you don't feel it in the atmosphere anymore? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why is that? Because there are principalities that feel entitled to keep a place in bondage, and they will keep a place in bondage unless somebody keeps on coming back with a teaching and a preaching and a word of revelation that continually tells the devil, you will not have these people. You will not have this atmosphere. They will not sit in your religious garbage and die in your religious bondage. Berea Church of God, this bishop and me, and we're going to preach the kingdom of heaven until everybody's mind gets aligned with the truth, and we start walking up out of wheelchairs and we start shaking off our cancers because and living in the power of God. Hallelujah. This man, listen to this. He comes to church, the synagogue, on the Sabbath, and he does not expect to be healed that day. Why doesn't he expect to be healed? Because religion told him that today is not the day. Religion said you can't get healed on the Sabbath. That's what the Pharisees and the Herodians said. We have rules. And our rules keep you from doing that kind of ministry on the Sabbath. Rules. Lord, it makes me sick. They had gotten so rule-oriented, and so watch this, and I don't mean to offend nobody, but there is nothing wrong with tradition. But if you're not careful, your tradition will make you traditional. And if you stay traditional long enough, it'll lead to traditionalism. Y'all not helping nobody. That's why some churches cannot get a breakthrough sustained and a victory that's sustained. It's not because you don't have a good service on a Sunday morning. It's because you didn't bring something into the atmosphere that addressed that principality of religion that made people know, by the time I get back next Sunday, that demon will not have authority to stay here. It cannot keep people in bondage. We're getting ready to walk in freedom. Bondage. There is no bondage like religious bondage. Say amen, church. There's all kinds of bondage, but there is nothing as bad as religious bondage. You get somebody that's bound by religion who thinks they're right. Anybody know somebody like that? Let me try this side. Have you ever met somebody under a religious spirit who thinks they know it all? And you try to tell them truth, and they won't hear none of it because they know it all. I'm going to tell you right now, family, it is the grace of God that will help a know-it-all find out that he or she don't know it all. And some of us in this room, and some that may be listening to me online, we have got to get a revelation that just because you always did it that way doesn't mean that's the only way to do it. And just because you grew up that way doesn't mean that's the only way to grow up. Some of us, the greatest thing and the greatest blessing some of you had is that church didn't screw you up. This synagogue is under not just a spiritual attack, but it is under a religious assignment. And religion is complicit with the plans of the enemy. Boy, I just said something right there. Let me rewind and say it one more time. Religion is complicit with the plans of the enemy. It will keep you in bondage. Religion won't take your joy. It'll just make it hard for you to get it back. Y'all not going to help nobody in this church this morning. Religion won't take your peace. It'll just create an atmosphere that makes it hard for you to get it back. Religion won't put your children in hell. It'll just make it hard for your kids to come back from darkness and come back to the church. Most of your children that are not in church this morning didn't quit God. They quit the mess going on in the church. Lord have mercy. I came to preach in here. I don't care if you help me or not this morning. Your children didn't quit God. They quit the mess going on in the church. But I came to tell somebody today that God is about to break out in the house. And the sons and daughters who got hurt in the past are about to find out God is good all the time. Lord have mercy. And all the time, God is good. They didn't quit God. They quit that mess. Going through your dog and pony show. Hopping over your red line and cutting through your caution tape. And let me just, people condemning each other. And I'm just going to go ahead and fix this right here, right now. I know there are people who come in and sit in this church who don't have all their ducks in a row. There are people who sit in our church every Sunday who are struggling with sins. There are people in this church every single Sunday who are even struggling with sin that you think they ought to bust hell wide open with. But listen to this. You keep your mouth off of them. Because just because they haven't become what they're going to be doesn't mean you have the right to bury them in hopelessness and shove them out of the house of the Lord. Sit your hips down and let the grace of God work in the hearts of people who don't know what it's like yet to walk in freedom. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. And just because you have arrived, it doesn't give you the authority to put other people down. You ought to have enough love to help them get up and walk in the grace of God. And this place in Luke 6 was a synagogue. People are supposed to go there and receive the word and receive prayer. But the atmosphere is locked up. Because when you don't have authority in the room, religious principalities will come and set up an atmosphere. And Jesus says, I'm going to go back. And watch this. This is so beautiful. I'm going to teach right here for a minute. Jesus' solution for this atmosphere of bondage and a religious yoke is to teach. Because you will never sustain a breakthrough until you change the way that the people in that atmosphere are thinking. The Bible says, as a man or a woman thinks, so is she, he or she. You can have glory invade the room. But if you don't change your stinking thinking, the glory cannot be sustained. And you can actually taste the goodness of God, but forget about it and walk back into the mess God is trying to bring you out of. And isn't it funny how it takes just a few hours? Sometimes it takes some of y'all like 10 minutes to get up to the light up here. But it takes just a little bit of time for people to forget how good the service was. They just left. Y'all ain't going to help nobody in here this morning. Listen, teaching is what will help you sustain the glory when it is poured out. Sometimes we experience glory, but we lose the sustain part because we have no truth that helps us reinforce the encounter we just had. So Jesus said, I'm not just going to deliver somebody. I'm not just going to heal somebody. But before I do that, I'm going to lay a foundation so that when this man gets healed, these jokers with these religious costumes on can't talk him out of what I'm getting ready to do in his life. You want to know what Jesus did for religion? He shifted the atmosphere by teaching the truth of the kingdom. And this is why I don't understand. Oh, God. I don't understand how people can get up every Sunday and walk out in the middle of sermon. Lord, help me here. Y'all better pray for me right here. Did you feel a cold wind shift across the room right there? And I'm not talking about people who got to go to work or you got a one-time, once-in-a-year thing going on. I'm talking about people who plan on getting up in the middle of the sermon at 11:53 just because they don't want to be late to their favorite restaurant. Sit yourself down. The food can wait. You need to get some teaching down in you. Oh, I'll catch it later. No, you won't catch it later. You better catch it right now. Because if you ever get the word down in you, when the devil comes and tries to steal the promise from the Lord, the truth is what tells you to tell the devil, get behind me, Satan. I got a word from the Lord. He taught. I'm thankful that this church has good teaching. We need good teaching in the church, not just the Berea Church of God, but the church across this world. That's what's wrong. We need some good teaching in the church. You got these people who get saved and they don't come back to church. You didn't get taught. You remember, listen. When we can memorize pop culture, boy, I'm going to have very few friends when I get through with this one. When we can memorize pop culture, but you don't dedicate your mind to remembering the holy scriptures. Can you tell me one story? Oh, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, can you tell me another one? Jesus wept. I mean, that's wonderful. That's wonderful, but we need to get the word down in us. Come on, family. We need to get the word down in us. That way when the glory comes and we leave the building, glory don't have to leave. Glory sits upon government. And some of us need to get some scripture on the inside to hold the glory that is trying to descend on our life. So Jesus teaches. And while he's teaching, Luke gives a detail that is not found in the other two synoptic gospels. This story is told in all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But only Luke says that it was his right hand. Now, you must understand that Luke would be the one to recognize the particular hand that is under an attack, because Luke himself is a physician. And Luke is concerned, as any good physician would be and should be, with the details of the situation. So Luke does not just say that it is a hand that is withering. He said it is the right hand that is withering. And today, I think there is something in that for this house. So when Luke says that the right hand was withered, it literally means in the Greek that the hand had lost circulation. And that the blood and the water and the nutrients and the muscle and the skin, every part of that hand had begun to deteriorate. And it wasn't just a hand, it was a right hand. Everyone say a right hand. Well, what is the significance, Pastor Cody, with the right hand? Well, you can look at this text and you could see that as a coincidence, and coincidentally as a man struggling with his right hand. But if you understand that Scripture leaves no detail out or puts no detail in accidentally, then you understand that when Luke says it is the right hand, God is trying to tell us several things about this man's condition that can relate to a situation that we're dealing with in our hour. Number one, the right hand is the hand of authority. Oh, I wished I had time to talk about it today. The right hand is the hand of authority. When Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1, he did not sit on the left hand of God, because the left hand of God is not the hand of authority. When Jesus rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Ghost, he ascended on a cloud and sat down at the right hand of God. Why the right hand? Because God was showing off the risen Christ as a demonstration and an advertisement to the gates of hell that death could not hold him. The grave could not stop him. Rome could not kill him. And the cross could not hinder him. Up from the grave he arose with all power and authority. And when the Bible says that the man's right hand was withering, it is a sign that this man's authority, his authority was drying up. Some of you sitting in this room today have lost your authority. You just take whatever the devil gives you. You just take whatever comes down the pipe. You just take whatever comes to your house. It knocks on your door, and you have the unmitigated gall to open the door and let the enemy in. And he walks through your kitchen, and he walks through your living room, and he walks through your bedroom, and he walks through your back door, and he takes over through, and he walks through the whole house, and he takes authority through the entire house. But I feel like God sent me to tell somebody today who feels like your authority has dried up that there is coming a restoration of power. There is coming a restoration of authority. God is saying you're not going to get run over. Greater is he who is in you than the one that is living in this world. Slap somebody near you and tell them, I came to get my authority back today. I came to get my authority back today. I've been run over one too many days. I've been taken advantage of one too many days. The devil's tried to steal my joy one too many days. In the name of Jesus, I've come to get my authority back. Y'all pray for my throat. His right hand. Everyone say right hand. It's withering. It's drying up. No authority. But the right hand is not only the hand of authority. I found out that hands are necessary to receive blessings and gifts. If I take your right hand away from you, and then I give you a gift you can't properly hold, and you say, oh, Brother Cody, I've got a left hand. Yeah, but your left hand alone cannot handle. If I was just going to give you a little gift, then yeah, your left hand or your opposite hand might be able to hold that gift. But that's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. You need both hands in this season that we're living in, because what God is getting ready to do and is getting ready to put on somebody's life cannot be picked up with one hand. You have got to be operating at total maximum efficiency. You can't be sitting here saying, oh, I just got this one hand. No, 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 no. God is getting ready to give you handfuls. Oh my God. Handfuls is what God is getting ready to give you. And the last thing that you want to be found saying when God starts pouring it out is that I don't have the ability to take it in. High five your neighbor right now and tell him, neighbor, you need that hand. You need that hand. You need the ability to take in what God is getting ready to pour out on your life. Don't just stand there making excuses, saying and telling us how long it's been since you've been blessed. You are getting ready to be the head and not the tail. You're getting ready to be above and not beneath. Amen. And God is trying to strengthen your hand so you can receive what he's getting ready to do in your life. But then I've got to keep going with this. When the right hand is withered, not only is it a sign of authority, not only is it a sign of being able to accept the gift, but this right hand is the hand of blessing. I feel like teaching right here. And I feel like teaching. And what happens is that over in Genesis chapter 48, there is a man named Jacob who had a name change to Israel. And Israel is nearing his deathbed. He's getting ready to die. And before he dies, he is getting ready to communicate and release the blessing of God upon his grandsons. And I need to, Josiah, will you come help me? James, will you help me? You're not old. You just look seasoned. Just come stand up here. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Come on, Josiah. Hurry, hurry. This is Genesis chapter 48. We have Manasseh on the right hand of Israel and Ephraim on the left hand. Manasseh, the firstborn, Ephraim, the secondborn, the oldest, the eldest, the youngest. Now, tradition says that Manasseh is to receive the hand of blessing from the right hand of the patriarch Israel. And the youngest gets what is left over. But, and you can read this in Genesis chapter 48, as the hands of Israel are descending, this is Genesis 48, read it for yourselves. As the hands of blessing are descending, the right hand to the eldest and the left hand to the youngest, something happens. Israel, as he is descending, crosses his hands. Lord, you all stay right there. I didn't even come to preach this, but I'm about to bless myself. Somebody say, God is about to cross this thing up. God is about to cross this thing up. I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And just because God wants to, God will cross the hands of blessing, and he will cause the blessing, the right hand of blessing, to come down on your life. That ought to give somebody a reason to give God praise this morning. Jesus, help me. I feel the Lord in here. So as Israel's hands are descending, they cross. What is that, Cody? That's why I'm next. It's not because I deserve it. It's not because of anything I've done. It's because of the cross. Because goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's not because I've earned it, Pastor. It's not because of anything that I've done. It's because of what he did on Calvary. Step closer, step closer. His hands are descending. And Israel's tradition says the eldest gets it. You give the eldest the blessing, and the youngest gets whatever's left over. And that's what I feel God telling some of you in this room today. What you've been asking God for, he's about to do it. And not only is he about to cross his hands and the right hand go on to Ephraim and the left hand on to Manasseh, and nobody could understand why it happened. And that's the thing. God doesn't need your permission to do it. And he told me to tell somebody this morning that he's going to answer those prayers you've been praying, but not just what you've been praying, but exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Hallelujah. Thank you, brothers. Glory to God. The cross. The right hand is the hand of blessing. And this man's hand had withered. Meaning not only could he not accept gifts, and not only was he experiencing a reduction in his authority, but he is not able, and here's what I heard God say, was that today was going to be a day of generational blessing being released on your children and on your house. Lord, have mercy. But God said there were some people who God wanted to release blessing through, but their hand had gotten so withered that their hand of blessing didn't have the strength, help me here, God, to release blessing over the next generation. There's a reason. I didn't even know, Pastor, that today our kids were going to be in this sanctuary. That's just a movement of God right there. God planned this thing out. But God sent me this morning. I'm getting ready to go take my seat and let you all go to the chicken house. But God sent me to tell somebody this morning, you're getting ready to experience supernatural strength. And God is going to give you the ability. Oh my God, I don't know who I came to talk to in this room today. Some of you didn't feel like you had anything left to give your children or give your grandchildren. You didn't have anything left to give them. And the devil told you were going to leave this planet weak, dried up, and dead. But I heard the Lord say, today is a day to reach and stretch it out. Pull on somebody next to you. Pull on two people next to you right now. And pull on them and say, stretch. Stretch. Pull on them. Don't just sit there. Start pulling on your neighbor. Say, stretch. 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 God is about to stretch you out of your comfort zone and stretch you out of your religion. Somebody shout, stretch. One more time, stretch. Hallelujah. I'm going to go into story mode. I remember, I believe it's maybe three and a half years ago, me and Pastor were sitting out here in the lobby, and he had prayed about it. I hadn't. But he asked me if I would serve this church as your youth pastor. Maybe it's been closer to four. I don't remember. And I didn't say this out loud, but I remember in my mind, I thought, boy, that's a stretch. That's a stretch. Do you know my past? Do you know what I've done in my... You want me to teach kids about God and the risen Christ? That's a stretch. If I pulled you up here and knew that you didn't have a lick of business sense, but I said, under the anointing and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you're about to start a business and it's going to be successful and you're going to have growth, you would look at me and say, boy, that's a stretch. Well, let me tell you this. If you're not in a place where you're being stretched, you're not in the right place. If you're in an easy place, I might not be able to help you this morning. But if you feel God pulling on you and the enemy telling you you can't, God told me to tell you, stretch. You're being pulled. I'm holding a microphone.
But you're being pulled by both sides.
One side's telling you you can't, and one side's telling you you can. And what I feel God telling me to tell somebody is your mind, the enemy is trying to tell you that you can't, you're not capable, you don't have the education, you're not good with speech like Moses was, you stutter. Y'all listen to me stutter and spit up here all the time. But all you have to do when you're being stretched is start putting a yes on it. Start putting a yes in your spirit, and eventually God is going to break you through and is going to lead you into your future, into your purpose, and into your destiny. Somebody say stretch. Stretch. I'm feeling stretched this morning. If you're not feeling stretched, if you're not in a place that requires a tremendous faith, then you're probably locked up in that religious atmosphere. But God is getting ready to give you one command, and I'm through. Tom, would you all come on up? God is going to say, hand, be healed. He's not going to say, hand, be healed. God's going to say, sir, ma'am, I need you to stretch. God could have talked to the hand. Y'all believe that? Y'all believe that God could have spoken to the hand and it be healed? But look at this detail. He didn't talk to the hand. He talked to the man. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Lord, only thou knowest. God will often talk to you about the thing that you've been talking to him about. You expected God to talk to the hand, but God started talking to you. Because if God heals your hand, but you don't participate in its healing, you miss the power of understanding that you have got to actually cooperate with God. Otherwise, you could come back to that place next Sunday, and there's a place over in Luke's gospel, I believe it's the 13th chapter. Don't hold me to that, but I believe it's in Luke chapter 13, where the Bible said that the ruler of the synagogue, and if you all will stand with me, I'm through teaching. Sweat running over all over me, and I don't wear no makeup. What you see is what you get. It's the real thing. But there is a scripture over in Luke's gospel, the 13th chapter, where the ruler of the synagogue told Jesus, can you stop healing on the Sabbath? There are 6 days of the week that you could heal people in. And you choose the one day. You choose the one day that you weren't supposed to heal people. Can't you just heal on the 6 days and leave the Sabbath day alone? And you know, we read that and we get mad at that, man, but we reverse that curse. Today, we have one day that we heal and 6 days that we do nothing. All our healing takes place on Sunday. All our deliverance takes place on Sunday. But whatever you do, don't open your mouth Monday through Saturday. The devil is a liar. I prophesy an activation of crazy kingdom people who are getting ready to walk out of this building today, and before the day is over, the chicken house, the steakhouse, and the Mexican restaurant that you're getting ready to go to is getting ready to be turned upside down. Hallelujah! God is about to give. The word says this, that when he stretched out his hand, God restored it just like the other one. Restoration. There is so much in this text. Before he restored it, Jesus told the man, stand up. Why? Because sitting down is a posture of defeat. And before God does something in your life, he'll often get you out of a posture of defeat and put you in a posture of victory. Stand up. Your legs ain't messed up. Your hand is. Quit letting the devil tell you you're defeated. He stood up and he got in the right place. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm in the right place today. Look at your other neighbor and tell them, I'm in the right place. Now turn around and tell somebody behind you, you're in the right place. Stand up. He stood up and Jesus said, stretch it out. And the man stretched it out and it became restored. Not just a little bit, whole as the other. Hallelujah. Here's what God said to us today. I'm restoring the strength of the hand of blessing so that you can release blessing over your children and your children's children. Some of you have felt like the enemy has dried up the blessings in your life. But I declare this morning the devil's lie is broken off of your life right now. And God is getting ready to restore the strength to your hand of blessing. Hallelujah. Can you just give God the best praise that you've given him all morning? Hallelujah. He's worthy of it this morning. If you are in this place, and I know it's getting late, I know what time it is, but if you're in this place and you need God to restore your life, restore some strength to that hand of blessing, restore something, listen. When the Bible said restore, it means this. The man was not born that way. His hand didn't start out withered. Something happened somewhere in the man's life, just like something has happened in your life today, that withered your hand. But glory to God, it will not stay withered, says the Lord. God is strengthening someone in this room today. because restoration is coming through the hand of blessing, and God is bringing the blessing back into your life. If I'm talking to you today, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. If I'm talking to you and your family, I'm going to ask you, if you're a man, a husband, a woman, a wife, I don't care what you are. If you need God to restore, will you come and join me in this altar with both hands lifted right now? There is restoration grace in this house today. Jesus, have your way. Quit worrying about what everybody is looking around at. Focus on you and the one that is speaking towards you, that is saying, get up and stand up. Because all that he has to do is speak to you. All you have to do is put a yes and do what he is commanding you to do and stretch it out. While they play, I'm going to come around and I'm going to try to lay hands on all of you. I need some help praying. Elders, come help me pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you today that the hand, Lord, of blessing,
and he is